This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
If you love the Swain Event and you want more of the show every day, you can now get it with Swain Event Plus. Swain Event Plus features exclusive, in-depth interviews with former Vols.
She saved my life. I probably would have never made the comments, man.
I looked at him and said, Coach, no disrespect. I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going to play in the SEC.
With Swain Event Plus, you can also get access to the exclusive podcast Reel on the Hill with Tennessee media legend John Bryce.
What is going on there with that battle?
I had lunch with some folks over the course of this past week who indicated some inside the program believe that Jarrett Garantano is really ready to take that next step.
So go to SwainEventPlus.com right now to sign up and check out all of the amazing extras that you can get. That's SwainEventPlus.com. Get more.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service. Take advantage of their Got Debt campaign where you can earn up to $500 for your debt. All right, we're going to make this about former Tennessee wide receiver, VFL Cordell Patterson. He is with the New England Patriots, and I'll be honest, when he was signed by the Patriots, I was surprised, but not surprised. Here it is, again, Bill Belichick showing that they can take a player that maybe has not reached their full potential at a previous stop or a different stop, and they take him, and then they get more out of him. And it looks like that's going to be the case here, Cordell Patterson, because already he is turning heads. He's doing a great job. And that's the report we're hearing from New England's camp. Touchdown or turnover, Cordell Patterson will have his best year of his career with the New England Patriots in 2018. 2018, he will have his best career. Now, keep in mind, he went to the Pro Bowl as a kickoff return guy for the Minnesota Vikings. So keep that in mind. And maybe your definition is more productive as a wide receiver, have a bigger impact, playing more snaps. You can have your own interpretation of what you think is the most successful season for Cordell Patterson.
I go touchdown because I view him more as a wide receiver than a kick returner for the simple fact that he's on the field more as a receiver than a kick returner. Now, I probably think that he's a better kick returner than he is a wide receiver. But as you mentioned, he's been turning heads in Patriots training camp. Bill Belichick was talking about how he's improved every single day, how he's gotten better within the playbook, and his routes are becoming crisper. That's something that you did not hear when he was with the Vikings or the Raiders. And quite frankly, it's going to be simple for him to have a career year in a system where it seems Tom Brady is just so flawless and just makes the weirdest wide receivers or the most uncommon receiver.
The whitest?
People. That's fair point.
You can say it, Ben. I can't.
Wide receivers you've never heard of, wide receivers that played lacrosse in college, yeah, Turns them into almost Pro Bowl wide receivers. And with the talent and athleticism that Cordell Patterson has, I think he'll have a career year, and that would consist of more than 469 yards and more than 4 touchdowns and more than 52 catches. I think that's easy. I think in this offense, he's a 70-catch, 60-catch, 700, 800-yard guy with 10 touchdowns in this offense.
Yeah, I'm right there. I think it's touchdown, if not for the simple fact that he's going to be playing with Tom Brady. You know, it just,
that's all I gotta say.
Tom Brady is so prolific, and Cordell Patterson's just natural athletic ability is incredible. It's time for him to become that guy that he should have been for all of this time. And I think he will. I think this is going to be a career year for him. But I will have to say, I mean, I just can't be rooting for him.
I'm rooting for the Patriots. It's like Gerard Mayo. I loved Gerard Mayo, so I rooted for Gerard Mayo. I did not root for the Patriots. So I root for CP to have 20 touchdown catches as long as it's not against the Titans or the Steelers.
I'm going to say touchdown. And the reason why I'm saying touchdown really doesn't have much to do with numbers. It is a illustration of Cordell Patterson's growth as a person and as a football player. Think about this. Cordell Patterson is from Rock Hill, South Carolina, home of the great Chris Lowe and Jonathan Hefney and a lot of other great players that have come out of that area. Justin Worley, Javion Clowney, all those boys came out of that little area there in South Carolina. So a lot of good football there in South Carolina. But Cordell Patterson went to JUCO. He went to Hutchinson Community College. He barely got into Tennessee. Okay? Barely got into Tennessee. Remember the NC State game where he scores a long touchdown catch? He's lining up. He doesn't know the play. Justin Hunter just tells him to run.
Just go deep.
And they hit him for a touchdown. Cordell Patterson gets drafted in the first round because he's electric with the ball in his hands. So the Vikings, who have struck out drafting wide receivers, it seems like, for the last 10 years in the first round, but they draft Cordell Patterson to be the guy. But to be the guy, you have to know your stuff. You got to know where to line up. You got to be a wide receiver junkie. You got to be a great route runner. You got to understand all the small details of playing the position. And Cordell Patterson just could not contribute as a wide receiver. Now, he was a Pro Bowler in 2013 as a kick return guy. So his time at Minnesota ran out. He goes to the Raiders, and then he's a Pro Bowler again in 2016 as a kick return guy. And so you're wondering, okay, is CP going to get phased out of the game because they're changing the rules with the kick return? They're trying to limit the head collisions. I get that. I understand that. I have no problem with that. So you wonder if CP was going to be able to adapt and adjust and survive these changes. Then the Patriots sign him. The Patriots, the model of consistency in the NFL, the gold standard in the NFL. When you think of the Patriots, you think about players who are smarter, not necessarily better physically, but they're smarter. And they beat you because they outthink you. And then here comes CP evolving. Here comes CP meshing with the Patriots system. CP had to leave early because there was questions. He had to leave Tennessee early because there was questions about him being eligible for the following year. So he's kind of forced to leave. This is an example of growth, man. This is cool. Cordell Patterson making a name for himself with the Patriots. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Come on. You don't think of Cordell Patterson blending in with those guys when you think of Cordell Patterson. You just don't. And so he may not be a Pro Bowl player, but I think he can extend his career longer by showing that he can be a wide receiver and playing with Tom Brady and learning how to be a receiver. Because Tom's going to teach him how to be a wide receiver. Tom makes wide receivers better than what they really are. Think about how great Chad Johnson was during his career. And he went to the Patriots and he could not get it. Because of this system, because you have to be a thinker. There's so many, checks and at the line of scrimmage and so many things you have to worry about on the mental side of the game. Chad just never could make plays for New England. And here is CP coming in, and he has a chance to do this. And Chad is a borderline Pro Bowl Hall of Fame player. He's amazing. So I think for that reason – I think Cordell Patterson will have his best year of his career with the New England Patriots. I'm saying touchdown.
You mentioned Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson. I'm going to continue to call him Chad Ochocinco. But even a guy like Randy Moss, who was a Hall of Famer before he ended up in New England, I consider him the greatest receiver of all time.
Yes.
His best season came in New England, statistically. So
he broke the I think him and Tom Brady
they broke the single season touchdown record.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady had like 50 touchdown passes.
And then
something
Moss,
like that.
I think I want to say Moss caught 24 touchdowns that year, which is an absurd number. But and obviously Randy Moss at that point in his career kind of knew the ins and outs and everything you need to know about playing receiver. But I do wonder if
he's a freak.
A freak. I mean, when there's a situation in football named after you getting mossed, you're the greatest of all time in my opinion. But I do wonder maybe how much Tom Brady influenced that. Yeah, I'm sure Tom Brady added on to Randy Moss's football IQ.
Absolutely.
So Tom Brady makes everybody around him better, and if Cordell Patterson is willing to put in the work, which we've seen him do, and Bill Belichick mentioned yesterday, there's no doubt he can be 3-4-5-year career in New England, especially like you said, he's going to have to adapt if he wants to stay in the league because the way the kick returns are going, kick returns aren't going to be in the game for much longer, and that eliminates guys like, the Holiday kid, Trendon Holiday, CP, Evan Berry type. What's funny is Nathaniel Rutherford just tweeted out an article of a Browns fan suggesting that Evan Berry would be very fun on offense. Hey,
no kidding.
Put him there. Randy Moss, best season receiving. He had 1,600 yards in 03 with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But his best year as far as touchdown receptions, unbelievable 23 touchdown receptions in 2007 for the New England Patriots.
How many balls did he catch that year?
He caught 98 passes.
Is that the most in single season for him?
No, his high was 2003. He caught 111. So he's only caught over 100 two times in his career.
98 passes and 23 were touchdowns.
My goodness.
What a year.
Yeah.
That conversion rate is not bad.
That Dante Culpepper, Randy Moss connection.
Oh, that was fun. That was fun, too. All right, hour two continues here in the Swain event. Hour two is brought to you by Alumni Hall. Get game day ready at alumnihall.com. Shop 247. Great, great shipping options there to make sure you get your orange quick, fast, and in a hurry. 6 locations in Tennessee, 3 locations right here in Knoxville. Swain Event, be right back.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken. Not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Sipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature. by injecting with stem cells and what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
B Drive Waterproofing Hotline. Today we will be joined. It is Wednesday. We also will be joined by ESPN's Chris Lowe, your other favorite national media guy. Barrister Lee is one of them. Chris Lowe is the other.
We should get a bulletin board, a whiteboard.
Dude, that crow's killing me.
So the reason the crow is playing is
get
because,
that crow out of here, man.
No, the crow is awesome, and my buddy Travis Gamble on Twitter sent me literally a gif of just a crow, and I knew what he was calling for, and that was to hear this instrumental because of the great crow in the background.
Oh, it's terrible.
Anyways, we should get a bulletin board and power rank our favorite national media members. Because we keep saying, Barrister Lee, your favorite national media member. Chris Lowe, your favorite national media member. We can make a board of our 5 to 7 favorite ones, and then as they write stuff during the season that either degrades Tennessee, we can move them down. Or if Barrister Lee stands up for Tennessee while nobody else is, we can slide Barrister Lee up.
I could give you the bookends. It's CeeLo and Barrett.
And then
top.
There's about 1,000 million, bazillion, trillion spots, and then Dan Wolken.
And then Dennis Dodd, and then Dan Wolken.
Yes.
Is dead last, yeah.
Nick Saban is ahead of Dan Wolken.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Butch Jones is ahead of Dan Wolken.
At this point, yeah, I think so.
Because at least Butch has kept his mouth shut since he left.
Yeah. He's not saying anything about Tennessee. Okay. And Butch hasn't blocked me on Twitter. Yet. Working on it, you know.
I'll add Andy Staples into that Chris Lowe Barrister Lee.
I like Andy Staples.
Yeah. Andy's good.
Andy's the man.
We need to add Matt Muscana in there.
He's not national. Is he national? He's not national media guy.
Well, I guess we need to rank our media members in terms of outside of Knoxville.
National media. I wouldn't look at Matt as national, even though I think Matt is big time. You know, he does some writing there for Gridiron, and you see him on Paul Feinbaum from time to time, but he doesn't cover the entire country or the entire landscape of college football. He really just talks about LSU and Louisiana sports, like the Saints and the Pelicans down there. But I put Andy Staples in that group with Barrister Lee and Chris Lowe for sure.
A little more obscure. I love the Solid Verbal guys. It's a very, very popular college football podcast. That it's Ty Hildebrand and Dan Rubenstein. Dan Rubenstein is with SB Nation.
I'm going to be honest. I've never heard of them.
Yeah. If you haven't heard of that show, definitely listen to it. I listen to it every single week of the football season.
After you check out the Swain Event podcast, of course.
Well, of course. Now, but the Solid Verbals once a week. It's not.
Right. Yeah. Now, what about your guy, DJ Shockley? He's gotten kind of national now, a little bit. He's kind of within the Southeastern footprint.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put him in there now because I mean, he's the SEC network, so I guess you can put up national media, but yeah, then you have to put in Marcus Spears and
Booger. Well, I know who's number one on our list, Jason Witten.
Now,
Yeah, but I don't look at those guys as like.
Well, he's not college football media though. He's NFL.
Well, we're talking national media. Just all
in general.
Yeah, so like, I don't look at Witten or even Shockley or even Marcus Spears as like national media guys. Yeah. I look at them as more like analysts, and I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't look at them the same way as I look at Chris Lowberry.
Guys that came up through the journalism roots.
Yeah, and Andy Staples. So those are probably my top three right now, national media guys, that I think Tennessee fans are cool with right now.
Feinbaum. We're cool with Feinbaum. Feinbaum took up for Jeremy Pruitt at media days.
Yeah, but Tennessee
Feinbaum's
fans.
Regional.
Yeah, that too. And also Tennessee fans have like a love-hate relationship with Feinbaum.
But right now he's on the love part.
Right now. Yeah.
Until Tennessee starts losing a couple games this year.
He loves Jeremy Pruitt.
He likes Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
And he did take up for Tennessee fans with this whole Urban Meyer situation and Darren Shiano Sunday and all that. If I remember correctly, he took up for Tennessee.
Yeah, this is perfect for Feinbaum and his anti-Big Ten persona. What's going on at Ohio State, unfortunately, it involves a woman with two kids who was victim of domestic violence with Courtney Smith. They always got to keep her in mind. But for Feinbaum, there's this idea that he's an SEC homer and he hates the Big Ten. Because remember, he was getting on Jim Harbaugh not too long ago. And so now it seems like it switched over to Urban Meyer. So this plays well with the whole, Feinbaum is all SEC and hates every other conference. But, yeah, I got to go with Lowe's, basically, Andy Staples. We will have on Chris Lowe during today's show. I saw where he, unfortunately, was down in Gainesville.
Turdville?
He's in Gainesville. Saw him posting some practice clips there from the indoor complex that absolutely looks like a trash can. I mean, their facilities down there in Florida are not great,
what you would expect national championship winning football program. You need to text CeeLo and let him know before he tries to get back on the plane, before he goes through, what's it called, TSA? I haven't flown on a plane in a long time.
Yeah.
To make sure that any Florida players did not stash any weapons in his luggage. We don't want CeeLo getting busted at the airport.
I'm surprised none of the Florida players tried to stick him up using a frying pan.
A baseball bat.
Brace yourself, fool. Wait, it's me. I'm the ESPN guy. Oh, sorry.
They steal his little recorder and like stick it in his back when he's not looking and he thinks it's a weapon.
Give me your money. Hey, Chris, man, you want to buy some Jordans? We got these new brand new orange and blue Jordans. You trying to buy some? I'm surprised Chris Lowe made it out there safe.
Chris Lowe's going to come back to Knoxville rocking those Jordans that Dan Mullen was rocking at Media Days.
Golly, man.
Well, yeah. Did you see this?
This interview is going to be interesting with Chris Lowe here at the bottom of the hour.
This brawl? It's like a six-man circle of life, kind of. Is this normal?
Yes. People... Yes, Charlie.
Well, obviously, lining up and facing each other. But to do it with the entire team circled around like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen Tennessee do it. But.
Yeah, they did it. They did it under Butch. I mean, they did the circle of life like that. It was just one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then when Coach Fulmer was here, we did the Tennessee drill. And it was more than just one dude. And you had the team circle around. That is a staple around fall camp. I haven't seen Tennessee do it under Jeremy Pruitt yet. But that is something you do normally when you get the pads on. When you're in full pads for the first day, you normally see these drills. The Tennessee drill, the Oklahoma drill, it's all pretty much the same thing. So
I did see where Tracy Rocker was working with his defensive line, and they were working on a gap control drill, and he kind of switched it up real fast. What would Butch call it?
Sudden change.
It was a sudden change, and they started doing one-on-one drill. So it was kind of like the circle of life, but it wasn't, let's get the old football team around him. Let's all cheer for one another and hope one beats another player.
You know, I mean, that stuff happens all over the country,
right,
where you have the offense versus defense,
right,
and you have it could be one, it could be two, it could be three guys on the offense or defense, and then you have the team circle around, and it's basically offense versus defense. And so whoever wins that rep, if it's the offensive player, the entire offense jumps on the offensive player, hypes him up, and then the defense loses that rep. And then let's say the defensive guy pushes the offensive player back a couple yards and makes the play. Then you got the defense, you know, getting all hype and jumping over the player who just made the play. And that, as a coach, you see, okay, who has the will to win? Who has the will to win? It's just me versus you, and let's just fight. Who can I go to war with? Who can win in a street fight? And that's all that drill is all about. It's just seeing who's tough. Seeing who can fight their way to the finish in that type of situation. It's
Lyle made it the end all be all of the toughness of the football team. Like, we do the circle of life. We're the toughest football team out there. No, that's not how it works.
It's a universal drill, and again, it's what he did. It's taking something as simple as just a simple Tennessee drill, and then trying to change it into something to make it sound fancy,
like a production.
Well, it's like the passing game, calling the throw game, or, you know, calling swarming to the football. He said population to the football. It's like, stop trying to reinvent the wheel. And that's kind of what he did, was take terms that have been used over the last 100 years in the game of football and trying to reinvent the terms and trying to make it sound like he invented a different part of football. And that was the problem. But, yeah, this drill that Florida did, it is something that goes on around the country. And Chris Lowe had a really, really, really good spot. I'm so surprised that Dan Mullen allowed him to be that close
in the middle
The action there. So we'll talk to Chris Lowe here at the bottom of the hour. 865-255-03.
Yeah, Butch really was – he was like – he was like the pastor of a really hip church. You ever go to like a really hip church? Like they all have names that kind of, it could be the name of like a bar or a church where it's like Ignite, you know, like a church like that. And then you go in and they're like, oh, let's do, instead of saying communion, they say, oh, let's do the gathering or something. You know, like they have to call everything something different where
I
they
think
can
I'm
say
following you.
Where they can say, oh, this isn't communion, this is the gathering or whatever. No, it's just communion. Can we just call it?
They're trying
call
to
what
invent
it is.
The wheel.
Exactly. You don't have to do that. It's just church, man. Can we like just drop it?
All I know is Daniel McCullers is out here starting fights in Pittsburgh Steelers training camp.
I love
it. He would not be able to do that if it weren't for Butch Jones' Circle of Life.
So true.
I love it. I love some good fights, man. You want to see some good fights. So let's take a brief intermission and come back with Chris Lowe here on the Swain event. So, you know, please keep it locked in right here. We're going to take a brief intermission, and we will be right back with our guest of the day, Chris Lowe. Stay with us.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Gentlemen, get back in the game. Did you know that one out of every three men over 40 may have low testosterone? Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. Do you know your numbers? Well, I know my numbers. Low T Center made it quick and easy. I walked in, I took a simple blood test, and I knew my results in about 20 minutes. Their service is even covered by most health insurance. So give them a call, 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388, or go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet is celebrating 85 years of low prices. And during Truck Month, choose from over 400 trucks and SUVs, all deeply discounted. Like a new Silverado, now 25% off. A new Equinox, now 20% off. And a certified pre-owned 15 Equinox or Terrain, now $16,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Big selection and even bigger savings. That's why it's better at Beatty Chevrolet.
Stock number 232, savings off NSRV, including our dealer savings and manufacturer incentives with approved credit, list finance through GM. Offer expires 8/31/18.
Craving homemade flavors that don't take hours in the kitchen? Mrs. Grissom's cheese spreads and chicken salads are the perfect go-to. Ready-to-eat meals and snacks found in the meat or dairy section at the grocery store with flavors of home in every bite. Whether you crave the classic Mrs. Grissom's pimento cheese or the gold gluten-free select cranberry pecan chicken salad, enjoy the sweet taste of a home-cooked meal in every container. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes. Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. And our guest knows a thing or two about Dead End Barbecue because his face is right there on the wall, front and center, because he's famous. And this gentleman also was in Gainesville, Florida, at the Florida football practice, and saw where he was at a restaurant. I'm pretty sure his face was on the wall there too. Chris Lowe, ESPN, joins us. Chris, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Hollywood. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Only Chris Lowe is allowed to be at a Gator practice and have an angle only the film crew guys have at Florida. I mean, you're taking footage of the Florida practice, and usually guys like you, media guys, they don't get that access, but you are special, man. You are VIP.
Yeah, or as Berger says, media boys. You media boys.
Yeah.
I go back away to Coach Mullen. He was gracious enough to let me come into practice and good chance to get to see the Gators up close. I'm actually out getting my workout because I got to catch up with you. I think you did, Benson did 6 or 7 miles this morning. So I'm here in muggy Tallahassee right now, Jason. Get ready to go see Coach Taggart and the Seminoles later.
Well, how did you make it out of Gainesville without getting robbed by a Florida football player?
Ooh.
Don't take the bait, Chris. I'm just kidding.
Now, wait a minute now. What's the old saying about people in glass houses?
That's right. We haven't had any problems here in Tennessee for a while when it comes to that. We haven't had any robberies.
I love it. Of course, I've been around the SEC, since your grandfather was born.
Yeah.
I love how fans in the SEC love to point the finger at everybody else and talk about, and revel in everybody else's miseries. And the reality is, and you know this, because you were a USA Today All-American at one point. They all recruit the same pool, Jason.
No, you're right.
It gets back to, as Coach Dick used to say, the best administrator I've ever been around in my life. It gets down to, how you manage? We all got them. We all got knuckleheads. We all got guys to do this, do that. And he's moving those hands around. You can see it right now. He said, but you got to manage. You got to manage.
That's right, and that's what it's about. It's about managing your players, and I was joking about the Florida players robbing you, kind of not really. What's been going on in Gainesville? It seems like there's been a string of off-the-field things went on, and you're right, Chris. Tennessee kind of had it there in 05, had about 12, 16 arrests in offseason. So it happens at every school, Georgia, everywhere. But right now,
so
it seems like it happened in Florida.
That's what you're telling me, right? Right around the time you were in Tennessee, all that stuff was going on? Did you have any part in it?
I never got arrested. I never got in trouble.
I know you.
I was a good guy.
I talked to Mullen about that. He's I think he's embarrassed. I think the kids on the team, you know, I talked to Felipe Franks, some of the kids on the team, they're embarrassed by that kind of stuff. You know, usually when these things happen, it's just stupid foolishness. And I'm not taking up for kids to do this. The kids are 18, 19, 20. You get dropped, you know, on a college campus, depending on what kind of background or culture you came from. And sometimes it's like, you know, like taking a fish out of water and just dropping them somewhere.
Yeah.
You got to adjust. Some kids adjust better than others. You know, the whole social media craze, Twitter. I tell you, if I were a coach, you know what I would outlaw? Air gun, pellet gun. Because think about how many issues with those over the years we've seen. You know, because they look, I mean, a lot of things look like the real thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mullen's been there, what, about 8 months? You know, so sometimes it takes a while to sort of establish the culture and put your infrastructure in. And, you know, the reality is, and maybe this is not the way it's supposed to be, but if he gets Florida back here in a couple of years, playing for SEC championships, and beating Georgia again, and winning SEC championships, all this will be a footnote, my friend.
It's true. Chris, everyone has been really high on Florida, but they're coming off a four-win year, similar to Tennessee. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be. It seems like they got very similar problems to Tennessee, but Florida's getting a lot of love. When you look at this team, do you feel the same way, or are they this head and shoulders above everybody here in Knoxville, or what's your take on that?
No, I don't think they're head and shoulders above Tennessee. I don't think they're at Georgia's class. I'll say this, and Dan told me this. In fact, I quoted it, one of the things I did. He says, you know, we're coming off a four-win season last year. He said, as I look at the talent on our roster, I don't see a four-win football team. You know, we got to connect the dots. We got to fix the disconnect. We've got to get our talent playing and performing and executing at the level that I think is there. I mean, it's not like they haven't recruited. It's not like they've recruited poorly. The last few years, I can tell you guys, I watched practice twice when I was there. Let me come in and watch it. They got some big-time looking skill guys. Jordan Scarlett, Tyree Cleveland, their receivers, Josh Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're right, Ben. You know, who's the trigger guy? Is it Felipe Franks? Is it Kyle Trask? I mean, Felipe Franks can sling it. But, you know, there's a lot more to being a quarterback than just being able to throw the football. I think in Mullen's offense, which is more get rid of the ball quickly, you know, you're not throwing it downfield as much, get it to your playmakers. You know, a 6-7 yard pass that turns into a 20 or 25 yard gain is as effective as throwing a seam route 25 or 30 yards down the field. I think you're going to see more of that. You know, Mullen has always run his quarterback. Frank was certainly athletic to do that. Now, they signed the kid, Emory Jones, who was a really highly touted player Ohio State wanted. He's not ready. He's raw throwing the football. But here's something to keep in mind. With the new redshirt rule, and this is something I was talking to the staff about at Florida. Remember, you can play up to four games and not use your year of eligibility. And it doesn't say, the rule doesn't say when you can play. You know, so theoretically, if they want to try to get that kid ready, put a package in for him, because he is a dynamic athlete, for say Tennessee, say Georgia, play him in those couple games, he doesn't lose his year of eligibility. See, that's an option that coaches, I think, are going to take advantage of this year, especially with kids that are maybe not ready to play every down but can help.
Yeah.
And I think you may see that some of that at Tennessee as well.
Yeah, that's a game changer there, that rule. Chris Lowe here in the Swain event, brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine on a beautiful Wednesday. I'm pretty sure Tennessee fans will tell you, Chris, to tell Willie Taggart, thank you for recruiting at a high level, because it seems like it's been giving Dan Mullen some trouble. I mean, I know there's plenty of time between now and National Signing Day, but it seems to be that Florida is not having the start of the recruiting season that they would have liked to have under first year coach Dan Mullen, when normally you get so much excitement, you get that new car smell, and recruits come in and they take the challenge. Florida seems to be having a little bit of trouble with recruiting. Did Dan Mullen speak about anything regarding recruiting?
Yeah, we talked about recruiting. They got a big-time linebacker, I think, this past week. He was rated really highly out of Mississippi, that they really liked. So, you know, there's a lot of guys on their board that they feel good about that are probably waiting, to be honest with you, to see how Florida does, what they look like. You know, guys that are big-time players that probably aren't going to make the decision right now anyway, this early. You know, Dan has never been a guy, and I'll coach to tell you this, that gets caught up in what you say or I say, the recruiting analyst says. He's going to trust his own evaluations. The thing he told me is, he says, you know, the way I look at it is this. He said, Tim Tebow was on everybody's list, and he ended up being the real deal. Dak Prescott wasn't on anybody's list, and he ended up being the real deal. So, I mean, so much goes into recruiting, evaluating, you know, finding the right fit for what you want to do in your program, then attracting those guys and having the personality and the staff to attract them to your campus, and then developing. I mean, you've got to – that's the part of recruiting that all of us probably de-emphasize. You've got to be able to develop kids, put them in spots where they can help you, manage them like we talked about earlier, do all the things it takes when a kid's 16, 17, 18. Because, you know, Jason, you know this. I mean, when you're recruiting a kid at 17 years old, sometimes that kid at 20 or 21 looks completely different than he does at 17. You know, physically, how does a kid learn? How quickly can he process things? There's so many things. So, my sense in talking to Dan, spoke with the defensive coordinator, Todd Grantham, a lot of guys on the staff, is they're not worried. You know, Florida, the state of Florida's got plenty of talent. And a lot of times, I think the misnomer about that state is you just go pick who you want. Florida State picks who they want. Miami, Ohio State's going to come in there. Auburn, Georgia, Alabama. But you got to get the right guy. And I think that's what his concern is right now, more than getting the guys that are ranked highly. Now, we're sitting here 2 years from now, and they're consistently getting beat on top players in their state by FSU, Miami, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. You got a problem.
Chris Lowe here at the Swain Event. Chris, your take on everything that has gone on so far with Urban Meyer at Ohio State. You covered the SEC, so you remember his time there at Florida. It just kind of seems like everything that was going on in Florida that was not covered has come back to kind of bite Urban Meyer in the butt at Ohio State. That's my viewpoint. What is yours?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not a good look. And, you know, I know Urban. I was up there last preseason, you know, covered him obviously when he was in Florida, but spent some time up at the Ohio State camp last preseason. He is clearly one of the best coaches in college football. But the knock against him, the criticism of him, is he's sort of been a guy that has a different set of rules for different players, the rules, you know, and maybe coaches too. And I think we all probably need to say here is, and I say this first and foremost, in any situation involving alleged domestic abuse or sexual assault, is over and above whether Urban will coach again, whether he'll get suspended, whether he won't coach again, is there's an alleged victim here who says she was beaten and abused for a number of years. So that's where my thoughts are, first and foremost. Okay, and I think that's what we all, we all in the media are guilty sometimes, fans, of asking the question, well, how does this affect Ohio State's football team? Well, how does this affect Urban Meyer's legacy? Well, let's not forget, first and foremost, you know, there's a female out there who says she was abused for a number of years and nobody did anything about it. And if that's the case, there was a lot of people who failed. Police department, Ohio State administration, the coaching staff, Urban, a lot of people. So that's what I want to say first and foremost, Jason. You know, there's an investigation ongoing, and I think the lady who's heading up this investigation for Ohio State has, and everybody I've talked to, an impeccable reputation, integrity, and I think she will be above board in the way this thing is carried out. And they're going to find out what Urban did know, what he didn't know, who he told, did he follow proper protocol? Were there any Title IX violations? Is there another side to this story? You know, a lot of people ask me, well, how can he come back from this? How can Ohio State weather this? Well, I don't know, and maybe he won't. I know right now, though, that no decision has been made, and I've talked to people pretty close to that situation. You know, some people have speculated that, well, all this is Urban side and Ohio State side pushing it aside so they're negotiating a buyout or settlement. I don't think that's the case. I think they're trying to get to the bottom of what happened. And I do think there's a scenario where he's back coaching football at Ohio State. Now, if that happened, is there a suspension? Is there a significant suspension? Possibly. But I would say let's just wait and see what comes out, how it all plays out. But regardless, if he is back coaching, I don't think this is something that just goes away. The firestorm will be significant. And if you want to look at it, again, let's look at it from the Urban Meyer side and his family side. His wife, Shelly, you look at some of those text messages, she's right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So how does that factor into all of it?
Chris, this news is a few days past, but we haven't had you on since it happened. So I want to ask Tennessee fans, in the middle of all that Urban Meyer stuff, felt very vindicated when Ohio State did not make Greg Schiano the interim coach. Do you think that that feeling is justified among Tennessee fans?
Well, Ohio State didn't make Greg Schiano the interim coach just because they didn't want the double whammy. You know, with everything going on with Urban and all the negative publicity they were getting, the last thing they wanted to do, real or perceived, was have somebody else take, you know, in charge of that football program where there was the baggage or history, you know, whether Greg did or didn't do anything to Penn State. I think that's why that happened. So, you know what? You know, honestly, Ben, you know my message, and this is coming from Alumnus University. My dad is Alumnus University. My son, Adam, is going to start school there next. I guess they start next week, so he'll be the third generation. You know my message to Tennessee fans is, get over it. It's done. It's over. They got the guy that Philip Fulmer wanted. They got a guy that I think is really sort of who they need and what they need. A guy that's all football, doesn't mind stepping on toes, got an edge to him, is going to recruit his rear end off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say this not just Tennessee fans, but all fans. We all want to get caught up in what did or didn't happen or what should have happened or being vindicated. Listen, it happened. It wasn't a good look, some of the things that were done by Tennessee fans, you know, some of the things that were said. But I also stand up for Tennessee fans and taking a stand and saying, listen, we don't think this guy's for us for whatever reason. But it only takes a few, you guys know this,
mm-hmm.
It only takes a few knuckleheads to screw it up for a whole fan base. And it's not fair to judge the entire fan base for what a few people did. Politicians, fans, media members acting idiotic during this whole thing and thinking they knew all what was going on and they didn't. Listen, I never really, in my heart, felt like Greg Schiano was going to be a good fit at Tennessee for a number of different reasons. And does that mean he was a bad football coach or a bad person? No, I'm not saying that. But that's open.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the thing that's happened in Tennessee. You look over the last 10 years – In the miserable run it's been, there's been way too much, well, this happened, or, you know, dredging up the past. Let's look forward. You know, let's go ahead. Let's move forward. That's the way life is, man.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason there's not a reverse gear in life. Let's move forward and see what Jeremy Pruitt can do with this football program.
Well, speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, here he is entering his first year, first fall camp, first time preparing his football team to go out and hit somebody that wears a different jersey, and that first opponent is West Virginia. And there's been a lot of talk all offseason about, you know, the quarterback. Because Jared didn't go out last year and light the world on fire, you know, what we normally do, it's a, you know, it's a normal reaction. The sports fans, we tend to write a guy off if he doesn't, you know, light the world on fire when we first see them. And Jared did not do that last year when he was in, and there's just a ton of issues going on inside that program. Now we move forward, and the culture is changing, and there's a lot more positivity, and Jared looks like, you know, 50 tons have been lifted off his shoulders, and he feels confident. He's throwing the ball well, and there's a lot of people that just automatically assumed that Caleb Chris was going to come in and be the starter, but that's not been the case at all. Jared looks comfortably
out ahead to be the starting quarterback, at least to take the first snaps against West Virginia. I think both guys will play. But, you know, you talked to Jeremy Pruitt. You know, you've been close to the situation. Has your opinion changed on the starting quarterback job here at Tennessee?
You know, I've always thought if Jerry Garantano came out and played pretty well and was consistent, and Jeremy felt like Jared had the pulse of the team, he'd be the guy. He's more talented, throws the ball better, better arm, more athletic. You know, Chris is a guy who's played, and, you know, he's not a great athlete. He doesn't have a great arm. Smart kid. I think he's a kid that picks up on things well. I think more than anything, he was a guy that they wanted to bring in, have some competition for Jarrett, and have a second guy that if something happened that they could count on. I know when you get a grad transfer, Jason, everybody, we in the media guilty of this too, thinks, oh, they're bringing this guy in because they don't think the other guy can play. See, I don't really think that was the case. I think they were bringing Christian more for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
To create some competition there. But listen, where did Jeremy come from? Alabama. What has been the thing that has separated Alabama during Nick Saban's run, dynasty, whatever you want to call it? He's created incredible competition at every position. And that's what Jeremy's trying to do at Tennessee. No, I think it's going to be Garantano. And I think you're right. I think he'll play. Well, first of all, I like what Tyson Helton's doing on offense. I was talking to your buddy, the head ball coach, about that. He says, yeah, I like Tennessee getting an eye formation some. Get the fullbacks in there, throwing around eight times. And they will do more of that. And I think, you know, we will see Garantano run the football some. But it's not going to be like it was last year in that offense where that is sort of part of what the quarterback has to do that offense to be successful. So I think you'll see him be more comfortable, play more instinctively. And a lot of times, you know, a change, and certainly a change in philosophy, is good. And I think Garantano will be one of those guys on this team that will benefit from that.
I like it. I like it, Chris. I'm going to let you finish your workout, finish your morning run, and I really, really appreciate your time this morning. And from Tennessee fans to Willie Taggart, tell him thank you. Keep up the good work in recruiting.
I tell you what, man, if you're in this state, you're recruiting in this state, like our old buddy David Cutcliffe used to say, you know, you better be ready to get in the octagon because recruiting in the state of Florida, everyone down here is recruiting, and they're out here looking for ball play.
Well, when you talk to Willie Taggart, see if he's going to invite you to some of those recruiting activities during the spring where he has the old school musicians come in to try to recruit the parents and the grandmothers, too, at some of those concerts. That'd be fun, too.
Sounds like you might know a little bit something about that.
A little bit. Yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll ask Willie that today.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.
Chris Lowe's time here on the Swain Event is brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, specializing in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics, so ligaments, tendons, joints, including rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow, foot problems. They can help you by injecting with stem cells, PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma. This form of treatment is performed under ultrasound guidance. TRSportsMedicine.com. I am a living testimony of what Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine can do for you. You don't have to go get surgery, folks. You don't have to do it. Go and see Dr. Carlson. Let him see what's going on there with their ultrasound unit there, and they will fix the issue without you going to get surgery. It is amazing the technology now in medicine that you can go in and a couple 30-minute sessions, an hour session, without, you know, dropping a ton of money on surgery or being cut on and being, you know, medicated on these strong anti-inflammatories for weeks and weeks and weeks, that you can go in and feel better. Shoulder, knees, ankle. Let Dr. Carlson take care of you at Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, TRSportsMedicine.com. We'll keep this thing going to the top of the hour here in the Swain Event. Really appreciate Chris Lowe's time. And Chris is right. We don't want to maybe admit it. Some of us may not want to, But he's right. Number one, every SEC school is going to have some of the same issues with making sure guys stay out of trouble. It's hard to keep everyone under wraps. Someone's going to do something. But Florida has had a string of issues there. And I'm pretty sure Dan Mullen is going to be ultra sensitive and very, very demanding of guys and making sure guys are not out at crazy hours of the night to calm down the fire. There's a PR storm right there in Gainesville, and I'm pretty sure he's going to try to put some water on that. And then Chris Lowe was right about this. I know there may be some people that don't like what Chris said, but understand, this is why he prefaced the statement by saying that my son went to UT. He went to UT. His father went to UT all. Lowe and his father graduated. His son's looking to graduate in a few years, but he's ready to move on. And I think there's some Tennessee fans who are ready to move on. I think there are some that want to bask a little bit in knowing that they were right. They do feel vindicated. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that to a certain extent. But at some point, we will need to move on and be happy that what we have now, that we don't have what we could have had in Shiano. But, you know, when Urban Meyer got implicated in all this stuff and this stuff came out, I was like, oh boy, it's going to bring up Gresciano. Because I'll be honest, I'm trying to move on the whole deal.
Well, just with that, to me, in terms of this particular situation, it's too early to have moved on. That was such a damaging thing, I think, to the psyche of the entire Tennessee fan base, that they want to have that righted in their mind, and they haven't been able to do that. This was an opportunity to truly have that feeling of, wow, we made the right decision. This, everything was worth it. Everything that we did, going out marching in the streets, getting online, getting state senators to, you know, send letters, doing things like that. Like, it was all worth it. And now that Tennessee fans are past the vindication, I would say, now we can start moving on.
Yeah.
It's good to kind of be vindicated the day of Gresciano not being named interim head coach, but a week later, the story should go back to Urban Meyer, that Gresciano was not named.
Well, the story should go back to Zach Smith hitting his wife.
Yeah.
That is the core.
In the world of college football, Zach Smith is kind of no longer the story. In the college football world, now it's, will Urban Meyer keep his job? Off the field, yes.
Zach was almost never the story, which is kind of a tragedy. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
He's a story for me. You put your hands on the mother of your kids in front of your kids. That, for me, that's been the focus the entire time. But at some point, that's why I said at some point, you're going to have to move on. But, hey, right now, there's nothing wrong with feeling vindicated and wanting to know if the national media is going to apologize. The national media understands now why Tennessee fans felt the way they did. Swain and Vince, Hour 3, coming up.